It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter as well. You can send in your questions and comments. And our question of the day, as we move forward towards training camp, we're going to try to expand our horizons a little bit, not do quite as much strictly Giants. We can do a little around the NFL stuff too, but everything's still with a Giants slant, Giants related. I'm sure that'll end up being the case this week. But the question we're asking today is, who do you think are the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? And Kurt Warner did something like that on NFL.com the other day. That kind of gave us motivation to do our own list. And I'll give you mine. And I guess the funny thing is, I didn't even watch the Warner piece. I didn't want to before I made my top 10. And I came up with the identical top 10 players that he did. And I'm sure I'm going to get some disagreement. I have them in order, or at least what I think is the best order. And here's how I go down. All right? I'm still going to go Brady number one. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is a close number two. I think my problem with Aaron Rodgers, I think he's a little weary sometimes with throwing the ball into coverage because he doesn't want to throw interceptions and ruin his quarterback rating. That bothers me. Then I'll put Drew Brees number three, who really has won games without a defense over the last few years. I know he had a lot of interception problems last season, but to me, Drew Brees still a winning quarterback. That guy gets the job done. I'll go Peyton Manning number four with big bounce back year coming off his surgery. He was a monster last year. Secure at number five, and I think five and six you can probably switch back and forth a little bit if you want. Five, I have Eli. Six, I have Roethlisberger. Two guys with a couple of rings. Consistent during the regular season, though their regular season stats are not spectacular. I think you can interchange them five and six fairly easily. I have Matt Ryan moving up to number seven. And before people start yelling at me about Matt Ryan being number seven, last year he threw for 4,700 yards. 32 touchdowns, 14 picks, and completed nearly 70% of his passes, 68.6%, with a 99.1 quarterback rating. That's a monster season, folks. The Falcons are no longer a running team last year. They won on their quarterback, and that was Matt Ryan. The Falcons are one of the best teams in the league, and they easily could have made it to and even won the Super Bowl. If you haven't seen it, by the way, I think it was on... Was it on CBS? I forget. There was a great article on one of the websites earlier this week. I think it was CBS. I think it was Pete Prisco on CBSSports.com. And he sat down with Matt Ryan. He, like, sat down, watched film with him, went through that final potential game-winning drive the Falcons had against the 49ers. And it was a lot of fun. It was actually a great story. I encourage you to go read it. So I have Ryan in at number seven. Eight, I have last year's Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco. But I have him – I'm not – thrilled with him at eight because I don't think he's quite as good as he was during his Super Bowl run. You look at his stats over the course of his career, he hasn't completed over 60% of his passes the last 2 years. I don't think he's done more than 25 touchdowns for the past 2 years. So not phenomenal stats. They still run the ball first and foremost in Baltimore. But once he got some weapons that he could throw to, he got better. So I have Flacco at number eight. I have Tony Romo at number nine. I know a lot of people get upset about that. But let me ask you a couple questions. Who has more interceptions the last 2 years, Tony Romo or Eli Manning? Answer might surprise you. Look it up. Who has more yards? Who has a higher completion percentage? And quite frankly, who has more regular season wins? I think Eli has two more. So, I know a lot of people like to make fun of Tony Romo and get on him, but he is an excellent, excellent quarterback. And I'll probably even get more heat for number 10, and I'm okay with that. And I was surprised this actually lined up with Kurt Warner. Phillip Rivers. I know everyone said, oh, he had a terrible year last year. It was awful. Well, hold on a second. I'm going to give you some stats here for Phillip Rivers last year. And you tell me if these are Phillip Rivers stats or Eli Manning stats. is you're not going to be able to tell the difference. 3,600 yards, 64% completion percentage, 26 touchdowns, 15 picks. Eli Manning, 26 touchdowns, 15 picks. 3,900 yards, and he didn't even complete 60% of his passes. Phillip Rivers actually had a higher quarterback rating than Eli Manning. And by the way, who are Phillip Rivers' wide receivers? Bobby Meacham? A one-legged Antonio Gates? They have no running game and a bad offensive line. So for me, Phillip Rivers is still in that top 10. I know people won't like that, but that's where I have him. I couldn't put some of those young guys, the Russell Wilsons, the RG3s, the Colin Kaepernicks, even the Cam Newtons, into that list yet, or Andrew Luck. I really thought about putting Andrew Luck 10. I came darn close to doing it. To me, Andrew Luck's 11, and he's right off the bottom of this list. After that, if I had to rank Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, and RG3, I really like all three guys because I think even though people make a big deal out of their running abilities, to me, they're all throwers. They are very accurate passers, and they're good at what they do. I'd put Cam Newton below those three guys, by the way. And I love Kaepernick's arm strength and size, so I'd probably put him on the top of that list. And then after that, I'd probably go, I want to see Russell Wilson do it a little longer first, I guess. They were mostly a running team, but so was the Redskins. I think Russell Wilson and RG3 right now are pretty interchangeable. So that's where I have them. We got four lines lit up. Let's get your opinion on the phones at 201-939-4513, your top 10 quarterbacks. If you just want to debate one or two guys, whether or not they're in there, that's fine, too. I don't need your full list. Whatever you want to cover, we can cover. Let's start with Frank in New York City. Frank, what's up, pal?
Hey, John, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, you're welcome, Frank. What's up?
Good. I pretty much agree with your list, but here's where I think you could maybe disagree with certain things. Like, how do you measure quarterback today? Is it
right.
Super Bowl wins, or is it fantasy stats? Because if you're picking fantasy, obviously Eli is really not going to be a top 10 quarterback. But I think you got to do it by almost Super Bowls, and who would you want down 2 minutes? And to me, it's either Eli or Brady. Like you said, Rodgers sometimes, he's a little trigger shy, and he wants that quarterback rating, and I think the rest of the guys are really stat compilers, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees do have Super Bowl championships. They have done it on the biggest stage and gotten the job done. And I know Eli has too, and if you want to make the argument, I get that. But let's be honest. Besides that first drive, that first Super Bowl the Giants won in 2007 was done by the defense. I mean, that was a Super Bowl that was won by the Giants' running game and their defense. And Eli, to me, was more along for the ride that year than anything else. So, again, I think Eli at 5 or 6 is accurate. If you want to make the argument, and you're right. I think that's a good question. How do you judge these guys? And I think you can't look at fantasy stats, you're right, because then you discount things like interceptions and you know, stats compiled and blowouts, and you worry about things like that. But you look at quarterbacks that win games, you look at how they go about winning their games, and I think that's – you got to do a combination of statistics with the winning factor, and that's how you come up with this list. And to me, I still can't put Eli ahead of Rodgers, Breeze, or Manning. Remember, all those quarterbacks in my top 5 and 6, if you include Roethlisberger, that's where I really think the tier ends after Roethlisberger. All those guys have won Super Bowls. So if you want to make that a cutoff point, I'll buy that.
No, I agree. And, John, I got one quick question for you
sure.
Not related
to
the quarterback.
Yeah, what do you got?
With Nixon Cruz next year coming up as a free agent, say Randall has a breakout year, and obviously JPP is coming up the year after that. Do you think the Giants value maybe JPP more than one of the Knicks, say, if they can't give both receivers a big contract and they would rather get JPP locked up long term?
Well, the Giants are in a pretty good situation cap-wise over the next 2 years. So is it possible to retain Knicks, Cruz, and JPP? I think it's possible. But it'll make it very hard to add anybody else at any other position. And when you're trying to get younger on the offensive line, David Boss is getting older, Deal is getting older, Snead's getting older, Booth is even almost 30 years old now, you're going to want to have flexibility elsewhere. So if Randall has a monster year, if I had to guess, the Giants re-sign Cruz long-term and they let Knicks walk because Randall can replace Knicks on the outside.
Awesome. All right, John, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Frank. No problem. And I think that's something the Giants don't really want to do. But I think if push comes to shove and they have to stay under the cap and bring JPP back, I think that's what they'll do. Because Randall replaces Knicks. He really can't replace what Cruz does. Then again, who knows? Maybe Cruz goes down for 4 or 5 games this year, and someone like Brandon Collins shows that He can be that slot guy or Jarrell Jernigan. Maybe that happens, and all of a sudden, oh, maybe we have a replacement for Cruz. Which is why I kind of like the idea of Cruz playing under this tender. If you can still get a below-market value long-term deal out of him, you do it. But I like the idea of Nixon Cruz playing out this year and then making your decision after the season. You can always franchise somebody, too. I mean, push comes to shove. 201-939-4513. James is down in Texas. What's up, James?
What's up, buddy?
How are you, James? What's up?
I'm pretty good, man. I was just listening to your top 10, and I heard the input from the and the opinions on fantasy picks and Super Bowl wins. My thing is like this, buddy. You know, whether the defenses are good or whether the special teams fill in or the other part of the roster helps, what people don't know is the quarterback is the field general. So even if he's not putting up fantasy stats, he also has the responsibility of leading the offense without mistakes.
That's true.
So when you when you start the playoff run, just keep in mind that both Eli's playoff runs were wild card runs. So that added an extra game of responsibility and pressure.
No, that's fair. I can't argue that.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, while Eli is not stellar and has had some bad regular season games and stats, I will say that both of his playoff runs were complete in that he has beat big-name quarterbacks and has beat Brady twice in the big game. So, you know, I mean, while he doesn't come off as your Joe Montana or your Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame, he will stand up as far as head-to-head matchups with all the big-name quarterbacks. So, you know, I understand I don't really have a specific top 10, and there is a lot of flexibility in how you want to rank them. But today the NFL looks bright and positive, and even Eli still has a little gas left in the tank. And I just like his play under pressure, regardless of how the defense plays.
Nah, sure, I agree 100%. My question for you, James, is would you put him ahead, if you were to make your list, would you put him ahead of either Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, or Peyton Manning?
I wouldn't put him ahead of Brady simply because Brady has more championships than him. I wouldn't put him ahead of Rodgers simply because he's slightly just a better quarterback. But under pressure, he's probably better than Drew Brees. And under pressure, he's definitely better than Romo. And, you know, some of the names that can be mixed back and forth, I mean, they put up great fantasy stats. But only thing that fantasy stats allow us to do is be honest in critiquing their craft.
Right.
Do you feel what I'm saying?
No, I do.
So the difference in actually having something to back it up is your playoff runs. And let's face it, Romo is the richest quarterback in the NFL, and he has no playoff wins.
No, he has one.
Or one. I mean, okay, one, you're right, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's nothing past that to back up his play and the pressure. And so a lot of the quarterbacks fall in that category, even Matt Ryan. And though even that tough game last year against the 49ers and that play that he lost on, a lot of people didn't realize that Tony Gonzalez was wide open in the end zone.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, too, that Matt Ryan played the last two plays of that drive with a separated shoulder.
Well, true. And that's where the coach has to make sure that his roster, regardless how stellar his starting quarterback is, can back up, you know, that's just like with Washington Redskins and RG3. You know, it's on the coach to manage the team as well as it is the quarterback to be the field general, which is an extension of his play, of his mind, you know.
No, and I agree, and I think that's where Eli probably – has one of his greatest strengths, making those calls to the line of scrimmage, making those audibles. I think he's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league. And I think if you want to argue him to be higher, I think that's how you argue it. I think you have a good point, James.
Well, true. And I do believe that having a brother in the league that is as good and smart as Peyton definitely has benefited him. So, you know, while we can't put him at the top of the list, we definitely must agree that he has the same pedigree that the Mannings have. So, you know, I just believe that all of them, dad and both sons, are eventually going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate it, James. Thanks for the call, pal.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy. And look, I get what James is saying, and the playoffs count, but I think you need to take two things into consideration. One, championships isn't everything. It's hard to win an NFL championship. Will anyone debate that Dan Marino is probably a top five quarterback all time? No. Did he ever win a championship? No. Do you know why? His defense sucked. I mean, let's be honest. The defenses that Dan Marino played with were generally terrible. The running backs Dan Marino played with were generally terrible. Once Mark Duper and Mark Clayton moved on, his wide receivers weren't even any good. I don't know what the heck the general manager was doing over there, to be honest with you. But that doesn't mean he's not great. Remember, football is the ultimate team sport. Last year, for example, Eli Manning did not make the playoffs. Now, did he have a down year for Eli? Sure. But was it more Eli's fault the Giants didn't make the playoffs, or was it the Giants' defense's fault that they didn't make the playoffs? It's probably more defense. The Cowboys had a bottom five defense last year. So was it Romo's fault they didn't make the playoffs, or was it the fault that they were giving up 30, 35 points a game? Probably the fact they were giving up 30 or 35 points a game. Same for the Saints. Their defense can't stop anybody. The Packers' defense last year stunk up the joint. Is that Aaron Rodgers' fault? No, football's a team game. And I think in general, Phil Simms makes this point all the time, and I'll agree with him. Quarterbacks get too much credit when a team wins. Quarterbacks get too much blame when the team loses. Are they a big part of it? Certainly. Are they the most important position on the field? Certainly. But there are a lot of other aspects of these games that affect wins and losses, and it can't all just be put on the quarterback. That's why you have to look at some of these statistics. See how the offense is run, what responsibilities certain quarterbacks have in each of their systems, and that's how you put together this list. You can't just go on championships and playoff runs because regular season counts. Regular season counts. Sustained excellence throughout 16 games on the schedule counts. 201-939-4513. Mike's down in Virginia. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, man. I was going to talk about linebackers.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Well, then you said that crazy stuff about Eli Manning in 2007.
What's that?
They used long for the ride, and I couldn't disagree more. Those playoffs, man, that guy destroyed defenses. And they threw up like 30-plus points in a few games.
Oh, did he?
In 07.
All right, let me take a look at the game log here, and we'll go through Eli Manning's stats in
2007. I'm looking like crazy on the internet. I'm going to take it off the air, but look up those stats for me.
Let's see. First round game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, 185 yards. Game two against the Dallas Cowboys, 163 yards. He had an awesome game against the Packers in the NFC Championship game. I'm not going to debate that. He was fantastic in the cold weather. He threw for 250 yards in this game. That was fantastic.
How many touchdowns did he throw in those games?
He threw zero in the NFC Championship game. He threw two against Tampa, two against Dallas, two against the Patriots.
I guess it was a lot more emotional game.
Look. In fairness, Mike, I'm not trying to say Eli was bad that year. He wasn't. He did what he had to do. He only threw one interception for the entire playoff run. The Giants did not turn the ball over, which is a huge reason they won the Super Bowl that year. And you give Eli credit for that. But to me, he was a part of that Super Bowl championship team. And to me, in 2011, Eli led them. He was the main impetus behind that Super Bowl. In 2007, he was a big part of it, but he wasn't, to me, the best part of that team. That, to me, was the Giants' defense shutting down a ridiculous Tom Brady-led Patriot offense that might be the best of all time. A Packers offense that was ridiculous. A Cowboys offense that was ridiculous. The defense held the Cowboys to 17 points, the Packers to 20, and the Patriots to 14. Those are all-time epic playoff defensive performances. They play great football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You're right.
I appreciate it. Do you want to ask your linebackers question, Mike, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, well, I want to know who's I know you got Williams and Hurts, or whatever his name is.
Herzlich, yeah.
Who's number three on this list?
That's a good question. I'm frankly not even sure the Giants know right now. I think if Keith Rivers is healthy, he's probably the third guy. But, I mean, when's the last time Keith Rivers has been healthy? You can say the same about Aaron Curry. So I think Dan Connor's in the mix. Him and Herzlick will compete for that middle spot. Jaquan Williams has to stay healthy, too. Really, I think all these linebacker spots are up for grabs in training camp in the preseason. I think Perry Fuel, Tom Coughlin, and Jim Herman are going to have an open mind when they come to deciding who the starters are going to be. And it's going to be a great competition throughout most of July and August.
Can I say one more thing about
Yeah, go ahead, man.
The special teams, I think, if we keep Aaron Curry and if Keith Rivers and Aaron Curry don't start, they go on special teams, that would be amazing for the special teams.
Well,
and
you know what?
Yeah,
Mike, I hear you. And if Rivers and Curry, if they're active each week, they're going to have to play special teams. That's not going to be an option for them. They're going to have to do that.
Yeah, that should look good, though. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Mike. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it as always. 201-939-4513. I mean, to get testy with Mike there about the 2007 Eli stats. But I've, as you might not be surprised, I've gone through those with people before. And, again, I'm not saying he played poorly. He did a great job protecting the football, doing what needed to be done. He only threw 18 passes in week two against Dallas. He only threw 27 in round one against Tampa. So the Giants didn't have to lean on him, though, because they had such a great defense. They had such a great running game. It was one of those, Eli, do your thing, don't make the mistake, and we'll win the football game. Now, again, I might even be willing to say the best Eli Manning performance I've ever seen came in that game against the Packers in the NFC Championship game. In below zero weather, where you can't feel the ball, he tore up a Packers defense. That actually was pretty good that year. Charles Woodson and company. So I will not take anything away from him in that game. But Tampa, Dallas, he was okay. And remember, of that 163 yards, around 52 of it was Amani Toomer catching a 7-yard out and running 45 yards after the catch, something Eli didn't have a whole lot to do with either. Just saying. And then the Super Bowl, I know the final drive and the throw to Plax, but let's be honest about two things. It was an interception right in Asante Samuel's hands on that final drive. And that play to Tyree, no matter how ridiculous it was, be honest, was a shot in the dark. You can ask any of the players on the sideline, and we've seen them in the legacy interviews we've done. Antonio Pierce said this just the other week. It's going to air this season on Giants Chronicles. Eli gets out of the mess of the line of scrimmage, which is a legitimate, fantastic play by him. Then he just throws it up high in the middle of the field. And Antonio Pierce is in the interview saying, oh, that's not a good idea. And Tyree made a heck of a play, and the Giants won the Super Bowl. So, look, it was a great play by Eli, great play by Tyree. But Eli was much better in that second Super Bowl run than he was in 2007. And rightfully so. He was older, a lot more experienced, better quarterback. We get that. 201-939. 4513. Let's go to Will in Atlanta. Will, what's going on, pal?
John, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, Will? How are you?
Man, I'm doing incredible. Listen, I listen to you guys, man, whenever the show is. And this Atlanta traffic, you guys definitely get me home. So I appreciate you for the show.
Will, anytime, man. Happy to help. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
All right. I wanted to talk about the quarterbacks rating. I will say this, because I started to rank him, but then I kind of, you know, veered away from that. But I will say this, man. I think Eli, he's definitely underrated. And the reason why I say that is when it comes to Eli, when it comes time to win, Eli, he gets the job done. You know what I'm saying? And,
no,
I definitely agree with you with the I definitely agree with you, man, with the 2007 season. That was mainly defense. But, you know, you also got to look at the progression of Eli as well. You know, I remember when he would drop back and pass, and I would just hold my breath. You know what I'm saying? So now when you look at Eli, when he gets ready to pass, you're like, oh, man, I know we're about to make something happen. You know what I'm saying? So when I kind of look at that ranking, I also got to include that, you know, because I kind of compare that with the Matt Ryan down here in Atlanta. And when I look at that game between the NFC Championship
game? The 49ers.
Against the 49ers. And when it came time to win, you know, Matty Ice, when that defense started putting pressure on him, he choked. And I think that's one of the key things that you got to look at with an Eli. And then you also can't take from him, you know, from him beating Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, and we're talking about one of the best teams probably ever.
No, I agree. Hey, look, I have Eli Manning at right. Honestly, I have him just ahead of Roethlisberger at number five on the list, and I don't think that's a slight.
Right.
I think to be a top five quarterback in the NFL, considering you know what a good quarterback era we're living in right now, being number five is actually pretty darn good.
Absolutely, and I wasn't talking about you in particular,
right.
But you know when because you know like matter of fact, I'll tell you, give an example. The start of last season, you know, you're hearing talks. Well, what's my man out in 49ers, the old quarterback?
Oh, Alex Smith.
That went to Kansas City now.
Alex Smith. Yeah.
You know, and you're hearing absolutely. You're hearing talks. Well, I think Alex Smith, he might be better than Eli.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Is Eli? Oh. I think he don't get a lot of the credit that he deserves.
Look,
as an elite quarterback.
If there's anybody that thought Alex Smith was a better quarterback than Eli Manning, they need their heads examined because that's not even close. It's not close.
My point exactly, John.
All right, well, appreciate the call, my man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you accepting my call. You guys take care, all right?
Yeah, be good. Thanks, Will. Yeah, I don't know. I know. I realize Alex Smith, and he actually had like 100 quarterback rating last year before he got pulled for Kaepernick. But again, that's when you need to look at some of the stats. How many times are they asking him to throw over the course of the game? How many yards is he throwing for? He might have a great completion percentage, but is he throwing a bunch of 7-8 yard passes? Or are they letting him throw deep balls down the field and making some plays? That's when you kind of delve inside the numbers and figure out exactly what's going on. And that's when you really start figuring out what guys are great and what guys are good and, you know, get along. That's a good example. 2 years ago, when the Niners went to the championship game and lost to the Giants, Alex Smith for the Niners that year was kind of like Eli Manning for the Giants in 2007. Not as good. Eli made bigger plays than Smith did that year. But it was more the run the football, get stops, quarterback manage the game, win that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, Eli's obviously come a long way since then, and that way Will's 100% correct. You used to be like, hope Eli makes the right decision. We have all the confidence when he's behind center, he's going to make a good play. No question. And that's why I have him at five on my list. And again, you want to switch from a Roethlisberger five or six, I'll buy that. And I'm not sure Matt Ryan choked at the end of that game either. Did he make the play he needed to make? No. But if Harry Douglas doesn't fall down on that wheel route, he's running for a touchdown. They have it. I think there was another play where I forget who he was trying to find, and he threw a back shoulder throw instead of an over-the-top throw. And that also, it was either an incompletion or ended up being only like an 8-yard gain instead of a big gain down the field. But again, small mistakes over the course of the game can cost you wins and losses, whether they come in the fourth quarter or the first quarter. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's up, pal?
What's going on, John? I've been waiting to chime in on this little conversation.
What do you got for me?
The last caller, did he really say Alex Smith? People compare Eli Alex Smith.
I'm not sure if he's listening to San Francisco area radio stations or what.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm on the round of my list.
Go ahead. Bring it.
I have number one, I have Aaron Rodgers, just because my list is fear factor.
That's fine. Really. I buy that.
Because Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he does everything. And he has a big arm, he's very mobile, and his head, you know what I mean? Like, he makes great decisions.
No, I'm with you on
so
that.
He's a total package.
What do you got at two?
And then I have Brady.
Okay, that's fine. Honestly, when I did my list first, I actually had Rodgers ahead of Brady. I eventually switched them, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah. And I have Peyton only because the injury factor, he's still coming back, but Peyton is Peyton.
Okay,
man.
That's cool. I like that.
He's a machine. And then I have Breeze. And I have Breeze after Manning because, yes, Breeze is he's setting records. He's doing all of that. But it's more of the system. And it's him, too. But it's a combination of both, and that's why it's so much. You know what I mean?
All right,
so,
I buy that. I'm with you. That's fair.
Okay. Then I have my boy Eli.
Okay.
Of course. And then after that, I have Big Ben.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets crazy.
What do you
number
got?
Number seven, I got Matt Schaub.
Really?
Yes. Because he's constantly a 4,000 yard thrower, and the only weapon that I really can say that he had was Andre Johnson. Now Aaron Foster does his thing too, but it's mainly been Andre Johnson, and to throw for 4,000 yards every time with just Andre Johnson. Come on, man.
They also have a pretty good tight end up there. I can't remember his name for the life of me right now.
Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels, there we go. I knew, I couldn't think of the name.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's no Shockey. He's no Gonzalez. You know what I mean?
Now, Shakes, here's my problem with Schaub there. To me, whenever Schaub has to take over a game and win it by himself, generally speaking, he has trouble doing it.
Yeah, and mainly... he hasn't been in those spots. Like every time it's a big game, he's injured and not playing.
Well, you know, that's fair, too. And do you drop him on the list because he's always banged up? That's something you got to take in consideration, too.
Exactly. That's why I have him number seven. Now I have, of course, I'm in Baltimore, so I get to see him a little bit. And I have number eight. I have Flacco.
Okay. Where's Matt Ryan on this list?
He right next. He's number nine. He's number nine because... again, because of the clutch factor, he does choke. He does put up numbers, and he has weapons. Now, everybody that I have named has made whoever their receiving core was, besides, I can say, Rodgers. But besides all of them, they made all their receivers. You're going to go from Brady, Manning, Breeze, Eli, Big Ben, Matt Schaub. They all made their receivers. Flacco, Ryan had his weapons since he's been there. Okay, because they had him from the Vic era.
Yep.
Okay.
Who do you have at 10?
So, all right. Number 10, I have. Now I was battling between this though. This is where it gets tricky. First, I had Rivers. I had Rivers because he puts up big numbers when he has weapons. He has not had his weapons these last few years, and that's why his decline in his numbers. Because if you notice, when he had Vincent Jackson, he was a terror.
No, I agree.
When Vincent Jackson left, he was done. So, but I took him out because I actually thought about it, and I give it to Matthew Stafford. Number 10.
All right. That's fair enough, Shakes. We appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, man. I got some more to say, but I'm going to save it for tomorrow's show.
All right. Sounds good, Shakes.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I want to move the show along, Shakes, because I got three other guys in the line. We're almost out of time. I want to get everybody in before we say goodbye. But I can't put River Stafford and Schaub in front of Romo. I can't do it. You know, people complain Romo's never won. Well, what are those three guys done? So after that, you look at the numbers, and let's be honest. The Cowboys had the worst running game in the league last year. Their defense stunk. Romo still got them the 8 wins. And I'm a bigger Romo fan than other people are. I think he's a darn good quarterback. But I can't put Schaub, Stafford, and Phil Rivers ahead of him. I don't think that's fair. And he's helped, you know, bring Dez Bryant along, too. Which, you know, got to give him some credit for that. 201-939-4513. Three more calls before we say goodbye. Andrew's in Virginia. Andrew, what's up, pal?
Hey, I've got a similar list to what you got going on. I'm going to go Peyton, Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, then Eli. And the reason Roethlisberger before Eli, if you look at his total wins and losses for all games, he's got like 30 more wins than Eli does. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, you know, Roethlisberger's regular season record is a lot better than Eli's. I think that's actually a really, really good point. And if you want to put Roethlisberger ahead of Eli, I think that's your argument. I like that. That's fair.
It pains me to do it, but when you're looking at the numbers, you got to do it.
Where's Breeze?
Breeze is number three.
Okay, so...
Eli's number five. And then Rodgers, then Flacco, then Ryan.
Wow, you got Rodgers low on that list, huh?
Well, he's not been in as many games as all these other guys. I mean, to have the win percentage in the regular season is one thing. Eli is number one in winning percentage in the playoffs, period. I mean, he's got the highest winning percentage in the playoff games he's been in. There's something to be said for that.
No, that's fair.
If he goes above Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is there, you know, at over half, but it's really Eli, Brady, and then everybody else kind of comes off that list a little bit. But Eli and Brady in the playoffs, you can't beat those two guys.
Do you agree that after the top six, there is somewhat of a drop-off after that?
Yeah, I mean, but I think Flacco sort of replaces I refuse to talk about Phil Rivers because of what Shake just said. I completely agree, and I've noticed that trend too. But Flacco was able to take a page out of the Phil Rivers playbook and just throw it up and have Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin make plays.
That's true.
Phil Rivers is now off the radar. Flacco's on, same bag of tricks, but he's got the championship to prove it. And we saw what he did with the Giants. I mean, he totally exposed our secondary. So Flacco's up there. He made it happen. He got the ring. Then Matt Ryan, who I think is very close, and I think, you know, that last play there, he was injured. And
yep.
I think Pete Briscoe just did an article about that the other day, which is a very good write-up.
It was a great story. Great story.
At the end of the day, he didn't get it done. He went through a lot. He was injured. But it was a lot of, you know, what-ifs and buts and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm not too – a great breakdown. But Matt Ryan, you know, we'll see what he does next year now. Eli's number five overall, though. And I have no problem, you know, with that ranking right there.
All right. Sounds good, Andrew. I appreciate the call, my friend. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. Yeah, and I agree. I think Andrew makes some good points. I would put Rodgers a little bit higher. I know he doesn't have the total wins, a winning percentage in the game he's playing. I don't want to penalize him for that too much. I am very proud of the fans. Nobody's wanted to put Russell Wilson up there. No one's wanted to put Kaepernick up there or RG3 up there yet. Now, in 2 or 3 years, we could have a totally different conversation. Totally different conversation, but I don't think they're there yet. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Lawrence down in Florida. Lawrence, what's going on, pal?
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, Lawrence. What's up?
I just want to say, I think everyone keeps talking about how great Brady is, and I wouldn't put him up right on top. I'd have him around 3 or 4. Just because he's on that team, they always have the good offensive line. He stands back there half an hour before he throws the ball. You give any quarterback that much time as he has, they're going to complete. And then every time the teams did put pressure on him, the Jets have done it. When the Giants in the Super Bowls, they did put pressure on him, he didn't deliver.
The one good thing about Brady, though,
have him as high as everybody else.
No, Lawrence, I hear you, and that's a good point. Their offensive line and their system is great. But I'll throw this out there, too. You've had a moving cavalcade of wide receivers since Brady's took over as quarterback of the Patriots. Guys moving in and out. Deion Branch, you know, Randy Moss, Welker. You can name, you know, a bunch of guys that have come in and out of there. He has not really had that top-quality superstar wide receiver to throw the ball to. And really, there's been a lot of moving parts in terms of his receiving core, but Brady's excellence continues, and I think you do have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, I do, but, I mean, look at this. The year he was hurt, Matt Castle went in and they won 11 games. The year, every year with Peyton, they always win 10, 11 games over they won. And then the 1 year Peyton got hurt, they won one game. So to me, that just tells me right there. I mean, I put Brady around 4, really. And before you mentioned that Eli threw the interception right into the first Super Bowl, Asante's hands, it actually bounced off Steve Smith's hands. Steve Smith should have caught it, and it bounced up in the air, and then he intercepted it. They were down there around the 10-yard, 15-yard line, wherever it was.
Early on in that drive, I thought Eli airmailed a pass over the wide receiver's head. Samuel jumped and the ball went through his hands. That's how I remembered it. Maybe I'm wrong.
There was a couple of close ones, but the one that did get intercepted, it bounced. Because I remember, you know, watching a few times, it bounced right off. Steve Smith should have had it. And it bounced right up in the air, and then they got intercepted. And then he ran out the side, and Bradshaw ran over and tackled him.
I got you.
But anyway, I just feel, really, I'll take it on when the game's on the line. I'd rather have Eli than Brady. And know who is good. He just falls under pressure. Is that Romo? He does good all year, and then when time comes, he just falls under the pressure.
Romo has had some small moments in big games. That is certainly the case.
So, I mean, almost every year it's the same thing. But anyway, that's I just want to throw that in. I just felt Brady's a little overrated than everybody else. Probably, and I think out of these new quarterbacks, the best one out of all these three is that Wilson.
You like Wilson the best?
Yeah, I think he's the best out of all three of them.
All right, I appreciate the call, Lawrence. Thanks a lot, pal.
But anyway, thank you. Bye.
Have a good one. You know what Russell Wilson actually reminds me of? Drew Brees. Maybe it's his size and how he has to sometimes roll outside the pocket to make his throws a little bit. For some reason, when I see him throw and I see him work, he reminds me of Brees a little bit. And while Wilson does kind of run the ball, he's not the same athlete that Kaepernick is, that Newton is, that even RG3 is. But he moves to make plays with his arm. And that's kind of what Drew Brees does too, who's, you know, a fairly mobile quarterback. That's who I think. When I think of Russell Wilson, if he wants to model his game, I would pick Drew Brees. To me, that's the perfect guy for him to model his game after. Final call of the program. Great job on the phones today, everybody. Let's go to Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's up?
Johnny, good morning. Shakes kind of took my Matthew Stafford scenario because I kind of like him. I don't think he's in the top 10. But I think you could switch Tony Romo with Joe Flacco. If you look at Joe Flacco and Cam Newton's numbers from last year, and the thing about this question is this question about last year or is it over the past, say, 3 or 4 years?
I think my question would be, if you're starting your team this year, list your top 10 quarterbacks you want to have quarterbacking your team for this season. Not for the next 10, for this particular season.
All right, so you look at Joe Flacco and Cam Newton, almost pretty close numbers.
Yeah.
And then you look at Tony Romo, who's got almost 5,000 yards. And I agree with you in the last couple of callers that Tony Romo, even though we don't care for him so much, could be bumped up a little higher. And Joe Flacco's got Eli syndrome. His year may not have been great, but his playoffs last year were superior. His numbers were pretty huge last year before they went to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, no question. I think Flacco and Eli actually compare fairly well in terms of regular season performance. Maybe inconsistent is the right word, but both guys in the playoffs played their best football.
Gotcha. Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Good job on the phones, everybody. We'll see if we come up with a decent topic for tomorrow. Shakes, I know, looking forward to it. Had to get rid of him quick today. Sorry about that, Shakes, but we had a lot of guys we had to get on before we say goodbye. 10:45. We had 45 minutes in July. It's already July, huh? End of June. Sorry for trying to make the summer go quickly. I apologize for that. Trust me. No one wants July 27th to come slower than this guy. Trust me. That's when the grind starts again. Everybody, great job on the phones. I didn't even look on Twitter. We had so many callers. I guess I got to take a quick peek here. Let's take a look. At our good old hashtag Giants chat. And by the way, if you notice, the San Francisco Giant fans have all backed off of the hashtag Giants chat. They have kind of been sent running for the hills. I'll give our loyal Twitter followers credit for that. Let's see here. Saraceno wants to put Eli in front of Peyton. How many great teams has Peyton had and lost first round of the playoffs? I mean, he usually gets out of the first round. They had a bye week most of the time. But let me put it this way. If I had to pick a playoff quarterback just to play in the playoffs, do I pick Eli or Peyton? I think about picking Eli in that spot. Got to be honest. I really do. Peyton has not been as good in the playoffs. But I think his ridiculous regular season numbers and just his ability to elevate an entire team, a caller brought it up earlier, that you take Peyton Manning off the Colts, they go from a 12-win team to a 2-win team. That's why I have trouble doing that. Trina goes Brady, Rodgers, Eli, Peyton, Breeze, Flacco, Ryan, Stafford, Coe, Romo, and then Cam. Interesting. Eli ahead of Peyton and Breeze. Ugh, not sure. Not sure. Mike Farmer, only one quarterback has beaten immortal Brady and Patriots 2 times in the Super Bowl. That's Eli. He's 1 through 10 on his list because who cares about anybody else? All right, that's fair, being honest about it. Let's see. 7 with a T. You just can't include RG3 or Wilson on the list. None of them even has 260 attempts in the regular season. I think that's a good point. I agree with that. Let me see. Marwan Ali, that interception by Romo in that final game in D.C. was terrible. Totally turned me off to him, even though I have him ranked highly at number 10. That I think he's talking about that swing pass that the defensive end intercepted. I agree, Marwan. That was a terrible, terrible decision. Bad pick. Can't disagree with that. Marwan also says Schaub is average. Not a big fan of his. I agree. His list is Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Peyton, Eli, Roethlisberger, Ryan, Flacco, Rivers, Romo. Wow, that's almost identical to mine. He has Rivers ahead of Romo. I think Romo ahead of Rivers. I'd go there. Let me see. Marin arguing that Eli more than along for the ride in 07. Again, maybe along for the ride was the wrong comment, was the wrong phrasage. But to me, he was still, the defense was a bigger part of that Super Bowl than Eli. He played well in the playoffs, don't get me wrong. He didn't play poorly at all. He did what the Giants needed to do, but it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing the ball 40, 45 times a game, which is fine. You win the Super Bowl the way you win the Super Bowl. That's the most important thing. Everybody, great job on Twitter and on the phones. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here on Giants.com. Make sure you be here. See you then.